thus saith the Lord, or the Lord has sent him, and he hasn't. But then it gets more specific, verse 17. And as for you, my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between rams and the goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep water, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because you have thrust with the side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he alone shall be their shepherd. There's no more shepherds. There's only Christ as our shepherd. But his concern is for years now. The stronger church, the prosperity gospel, they've pushed out the diseased or the broken or the unseemly. We have examples of, we've had some homeless people go to different churches and they end up giving them $20 to go away and go someplace else. And it's just sad.
I'd take that maybe.
Now, let's go to Jeremiah 23 and see what we see. Jeremiah is right before Ezekiel, for all you Bible scholars.
You say 23?
23. Uh-huh. Again, Jeremiah is woe to the pastors. Woe be unto the pastures that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Israel, against the pastures that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to the folds, that they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. So again, it's this idea that in the midst of this judgment that's well deserved, he's still caring for his people, and that's the meaning of Auriga. He's holding. And the other thing is, notice that normally the believers are called sheep, but there's an intermixture of sheep and goats. Even there's a mixture of Christ, because in the Bible it says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, but there's never a male lamb that's a sin offering. And so it's a mixture between goats and lambs, because it's none of our business. Who's the goat and who's the lamb? Everybody understand that? There's none of those things. There's no more Americans or French or Jew or Gentile or Greek
or
there's no more. There's no more nations. They're gone, but they don't know it, so the nations are still fighting. Christ is. Let's go to Malachi. See how many of you can find Malachi, chapter 4.
Turn to the right, Malachi.
Now,
Malachi is the last chapter of the Old Testament.
Last two.
Malachi 4.
I'm there.
Chapter 4.
You're too proud of your little computer. You get gold star.
And the answer is,
for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And that, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arrive with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You shall tread down the wicked ones, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. And the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. So anyway, it's this whole idea, the meaning of this sub-sign of Taurus is aruga. It's this, the idea that there's massive mercy in the midst of judgment. And if it wouldn't for that, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And I could go through all the star names and all that stuff.
Good.
But I'm not going to. Notice, though, in aruga, there appears to be, if you can see it on your star maps.
Okay, thank you. Aruga. Aruba.
A-U-R-I-G-A. Aruga.
East of... I'm kidding, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
He is holding a band, a ribbon, in his right hand. If you can see it better in that big
yes,
one.
Yes, yes, yes.
Aruga?
Aruga.
It's misspelled on
this. It's misspelled on the star map.
Oh. That's him? Aruga? That's the one?
He's holding... See him with the goat in his... On his shoulder.
That's the one, yes. Ben.
Thank you. Okay.
That's the same band.
Okay.
That we saw in the hand of the Lamb and the hand of the enthralled Cepheus. It is the band of power by which God upholds, guides, and protects and nourishes his people. On one side, on the other side of the band, he destroys his enemies. Same band.
Band?
Band like a ribbon.
Yes. Strap.
No,
writing on it or something?
Hmm?
Was it writing on it? I mean, I don't see the point.
Well, it's because you weren't here when we studied together, and I'm not going to go back there.
Okay, I was just wondering if they give me the.
Well, just go on. Go to find Pisces.
Pisces.
Oh my gosh, all my friends are Pisces.
There he is.
Okay, you see our hull, that there's a band connecting the two fish.
Yes.
And it's under the palm or the paw of the Aries.
Yes.
But it's out on, it's also holding a restraining Cetus. Mm-hmm. So that same band, we don't see it here because it goes under. And it's the band in the right hand of Aruga. And he's being connected back to the...
Oh, I see.
All right?
All right.
When you said I could talk about the stars and names, but that's not important.
What?
When you said that I could talk about the stars, the individual stars, that's not important. Why is it not important? Because it's just...
Well, no, I mean, it's important if you want... The star names, okay. The brightest star in the goat is Alioth, and it means she-goat. The Latin name is Capella, and it means she-goat.
Okay.
The star in the shepherd's right arm...
That he holds the strap in.
...is Mankilion, and it means the band of the goats or the ewes, what he's connecting and protecting them all. The right foot There's a star called Elnath that means wounded or slain. And again, it's a picture of Christ, wounded.
It's also where Taurus's horn pierces the heel.
It doesn't pierce the heel. It's not even that close. It just looks like it in
these
starlights.
Okay. Yeah.
We went through that before last week.
I know,
Ayuk. There's another star in the foot, and it means wounded in the heel. Well, Christ is there's a progression of revelation about Jesus. He's the good shepherd in John 10:11. He's the great shepherd in Hebrews 13:20, and he's the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5:4. So he goes from good, great, to chief. Let's before we leave Aruga, we're going to go to Isaiah 45. I want to get started in Gemini.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But we're going to read Isaiah 45 first. Verse 18. Are you there, Ben?
No.
Isaiah 45.
I'm trying to get there with these fingers, excuse me.
Verse 18.
Oh, it's after the stuff. Okay.
Isaiah 45, verse 18.
There were pictures there, I'm sorry. There we go.
For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven images and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell me, tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? There is no God else beside me. I, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear or confess. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Now the only seed of Israel that Christ sees is the seed of woman. And there's no such thing as a seed of woman because it's the word sperm.
Right.
So it had to indicate the virgin birth from the very beginning. The promises go not to the seeds as of many, but to thy seed, which is Christ. The best you can be is a vessel, empty vessel. If there's any of you in it, it's not holy.
Yeah.
All right, but just while we're this, just go up to verse 5 of Isaiah 45. We're just going to run this by you just to hurt your brain.
Good. Yeah, you said this last week. Mm-hmm. It was juicy.
Yeah.
I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. From God's perspective, every knee is bowing. every tongue is now confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. But we don't see, because we want the things to be after our own understanding. All right, now let's go to Gemini. By the way, Ben, it's less than meaningful what sign you were born under.
I know you keep telling me that. I know. It's just, it's weird though, Ollie. No, really.
No, it's not. It's
all
just
these girls,
weird.
They're all, their birthdays are within 3 weeks of each other, and they're, we're all friends.
Okay.
And some of them hate each other.
Gemini.
Gemini.
And the bigger your map, the more you can see this, but there are two beautiful beings sitting embracing with their feet on the milk. Their feet are resting on the Milky Way, which I don't know if you can see that. Their heads are leaning on each other in a loving attitude. In this map, the one holds a club. Now, in the oldest records, the oldest star maps, the club is the branch. One of his arms is holding the other one, the other person. The other has a harp in one hand and a bow and arrow in the other.
Oh, yeah.
But they're both in a state of rest or repose. There's no action being taken with the arrows or the bow or the club, even if they have it as a club. They're in this. The weapons are in the same state as the bearers of the weapons. Now, in Roman mythology, they are Castor and Pollux. In Greek mythology, they are Apollo and Hercules. They're both either, they're twins, supposedly.
Apollo
and both in for the Greeks, they were sons of Zeus, and for the Romans, they're sons of Jupiter. Now the boat that Paul sailed on, and again, these guys are. They are said to have cleansed the sea of pirates, and they're patron saints of the sea and all that stuff. If somebody wants to go there, go to Acts 28:11 if you do it quickly. Don't do it, try with a regular Bible. We'll just have Mr. Technology read it to us.
Okay, Acts 28:11.
Okay. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux.
Okay.
Wow.
Castor and Pollux was the name of their ship.
Wow.
Because they believed in the mythology about Gemini. Now, notice that the other one has a harp. You see that?
Yes.
Now, who are these people?
Yeah.
The old Coptic name in the ancient Coptic world, the ancient Egyptian world, is Pi Mahai, which means the united. The Hebrew name is Thuman, which also means united or enfolded or coupled or twined. And it's used of in the temple to describe how the boards are to be coupled under so that there's no separation. You can't even see that they're planks.
Is it also the one that used for the Urim and the Thummim?
No.
Whatever? Is it a different word?
Yeah.
Right.
As I said, the Greeks and Romans both considered them as twin brothers. They were said to have been with the Argonauts in the contest for the Golden Fleece, where they displayed great heroism. They often appeared at the head of armies on flags and staffs. But before they were men at one time, supposedly, but before they were They are said to have had cleaned the sea of pirates, protectors and friends of ships. Then they were rewarded by Jupiter and or Zeus by transferring them to the heavens. Sheep were often sacrificed on altars to them, and was common to take oaths by their name as an indication of truth and verity. So, in my day, many, many years ago, maybe it's because of the Nordic influence, but my relatives always said, by Gemini, they were swearing to that it's truth. They were saying, this is by Gemini.
Instead of by Jove or whatever.
By Gemini?
By Gemini.
Interesting.
By Jiminy. That's where by Jiminy comes from?
Jiminy, yeah. Cricket.
By Jiminy is the same thing.
Right.
The Catholic priest in Kissimmee, which is totally Walt Disney, the Catholic priest looks just like Jiminy Cricket. It's amazing.
Now, the real mystery here is they aren't Casper and Pollux. They aren't Hercules and Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
They are Christ and his bride.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They are
Christ and
his bride.
His bride.
That makes sense, yeah.
Sometimes, in fact, in the temple in Dendara, in the ancient temple that's 4,000 years before Christ, the figure shows the two as a young man and a woman, and a young woman, and they were sometimes called Adam and Eve. But it's not the first Adam, they are the last Adam. And the bride is the church.
Yeah.
It's interesting, you in our space program used Gemini and Apollo, the Apollo space program, the Gemini rockets.
Every sign of the zodiac is about the seed of woman in one sense or another. The accompanying female is his bride. It's bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. His sister is love. And let's look at those two. Somebody with a computer go to Genesis 2, and somebody else with a computer go to Song of Solomon or Song of Songs 4.
I'll take the Song of Songs.
Okay, I'll make Genesis 2.
Read Genesis 2, verse 3. Read 1, 2, and 3.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made.
No, that's wrong.
That's Genesis 2, 1, 2, and 3.
I'm just taking antibiotics for this. Excuse me.
I'm sorry, I wrote it down wrong.
Okay.
It's I can't believe I did that. It's chapter 2, verse 23. Now we're 21, 22, and 23.
21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
Go ahead and read the rest of it.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Okay. Now, read
Song of Solomon 4.
Song of Solomon 4, 9 to 12.
9 to 12. Okay, hang on a second. I got to adjust. thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes and one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointment from all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon.
Okay. When Christ was crucified, Centurius Longinus stuck the lance into his left side at the fifth chakra, and out of that poured water and blood. And the first God opened the rib, and out of both he created Eve as a type of the bride initially, and now the bride of Christ. The bride is his sister, his spouse, because it's of the same seed. That's why the best that any individual human can be, the human beings were never God's seed. They were created out of the dust of the earth. And a whole lot of people say Lilith had taken a crap in the earth and got a little bit and got in the... I'm just kidding. But the best the human being can be is empty. Not my will, but thine.
Like a pipe.
Without that emptiness, there is no my sister, my love, because you're not... Out of the best the human race can be after the flesh is a friend of the bridegroom. And so, this is the first sign that in judgment, this is what the scriptures we've read, you can see that the promises he'll always save the elect, the remnant. And he'll always care for them. You never have to worry about what's going to happen to this or that. You'll always be cared for. But do you understand God doesn't see iniquity? He can't see it. Does anybody believe that?
Yes.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquity, your self-seeking is the word for iniquity. But your self-seeking have separated between you and your God, and your sin have hid his face from you, and he will not see nor hear.
Where are you reading from?
That's what I was going to ask as well.
Would you be kind enough to give your reference?
Isaiah 59. Now, he didn't see the human race. The human race is full of iniquity, self-seeking. He sees only his son. That's why it's Christ in you, the only hope of glory. And all the various lies about this mystery, the greatest lie in the universe is the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Have you ever seen anything that's a greater lie? But we have this fiction that we were created by God for his... only Christ is the answer. After man killed his son, the human race was never again... God had never again done anything to do with the human race.
Anything we want.
What?
He'll give us anything we want, but we'll still mess it up.
Well, he don't even see us as human beings. That's what we just read. Iniquity just means self-seeking. That's what the curse did. It caused you to be self-seeking. Mm-hmm. It caused you not even to know how to say, not my will, but thine. Yeah. Because you're so consumed with self-will that the mind, the will can't even, not my will, but thine, can't even be heard. Yeah. Much less be. The only way you can live is if you're dead, and he lives.
Isn't that amazing to think about?
Anyhow, that's enough for today. We'll finish Jim and I.
How do we die?
Very simple.
To be quick and easy.
Very simple. No. You are dead. You were born dead. That's why you're called mortal. Mortal means dead. Do you know that? The word mortal, look it up. It means dead. When what Christ go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 14.
Okay. 5:14.
Thank you. 5:14.
Verse 14.
Okay.
Read it, Ben.
Stop it, I'm not gonna read it.
Okay.
I'm terrible.
For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love.
What?
Galatians.
You said 5:14.
Galatians 5:14.
That's not right. Just a minute.
Of course. And it's not right either.
4:14?
2 Corinthians 5:14. I don't know
there
where I got
go.
Galatians.
Oh,
all right. 5:14.
2
Corinthians 5:14.
Thank you.
For the love of Christ.
For the love of Christ constraineth us. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all
dead.
Amen.
So there's been being running around your whole life masquerading as you.
Right.
And he's called the Antichrist, the instead of Christ.
Anything but.
And you've invented yourself and you're a lie. And everything about you is a lie. Everything you've thought and dreamt is a lie. Because you still let yourself live. And you gave importance to yourself. So you loved yourself instead of God. No matter how much you say and protest you love God, to love God means you must literally lose sight of yourself. You must be so far removed from self that you can't even see yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Can I share a verse here only?
Please.
In Romans 6:11, this really speaks to me. Praise the Lord. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. Indeed unto sin,
reckon.
But alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Lord Jesus. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the mystery. Praise the Lord.
But you can't even hear unless you know you're dead.
Yeah, amen.
That's a predicate of Christianity.
Amen. Amen to that.
Yep.
That is true.
Only this thing called Ara. Is that an altar? A flaming altar?
Right. What it's pointing downward.
Yeah, I noticed that too. This thing called crater. An oil container.
A what?
See, crater in Hydra.
We're not there yet.
Okay.
All right, then, my brother.
Good night.
I was wondering if there was any meeting there.
I'm tired.
No.
I've never heard anybody suggest there was an altar sitting in that.
Safely.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but it's upside down because it's a burning altar.
Later, Nick.
Fires.
Later, my brother.
A burning altar. What?
A burning fires that destroy you instead of keep you alive.
Okay.
All right.